traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen of all breeds and all countries. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village in Delray Beach, Florida. We're right on the edge of all the rain that we got. We got about 8 inches of rain here, 2 feet of water just about everywhere. It's really bad. Thank goodness that we got the good people behind us here at the farm. They got the pumps running and they got the water going. They weren't so lucky down at Gulfstream in Miami. They really had a rough go of it. I'm telling you, horses were knee deep in water and it was really tough. The rain flooding forced Gulfstream to cancel its June 13th and 14th card. Gulfstream Park has canceled June's 13th eight race program and June 14th 9 race program due to heavy rains that have caused significant flash flooding throughout South Florida. Heavy rains has caused damage and flooding in parts of Broward and Palm Beach County and Miami-Dade County since June 12th. On-track simulcasting and wagering races through North America and South America will be available on Friday, if you can get into the facility. The water is still pretty heavy there this morning. Gulfstream's 11 race program June 15th includes the $95,000 powder break stakes for fillies and mares 3-year-olds and up. The racing office will bring back races that were scheduled for Thursday and Friday as extras next week. So what they'll be doing is they'll just be adding races onto the races next week. Instead of having like an 8-race card, they'll probably have like a 10-race card, which is good for the bettors. They like that when they can go there and spend a little extra time there, at the track. Storms forced evacuation from the horses at Gulfstream, and it was bad. It was a serious storm that had been rocking South Florida since June 12th, causing flooding in Gulfstream's oldest section of the barn area. It caused the evacuation of about 300 horses on June 13th. We had 20 inches of rain, which is unheard of here in South Florida at one time. It was bad. The poor people that lived in Hollywood and Hollidale, their houses were underwater. It was pretty bad. Trainer Nolan Ramsey's Barn 11 was one of several of the older wooden barns to be flooded by the storm. Thankfully, we got all the horses out Wednesday night. Ramsey said the last two and three we got out were swimming. I tell you, it was really rough on them, guys. It was bad. We had a lot of rain here. All our paddocks here at the Sunshine Meadows are flooded, and you just can't use them. Show rings were in pretty bad shape, but Brandon and the guys got everything, back to way it should be, and so we're surviving at least. They moved a lot of the horses out of the barns to Palmetto's Training Center. Up here in Delray Beach, it's 50 miles north of Gulfstream Park. I tell you, it was something else. We got about 90 horses moved this morning into receiving barn, and we have another 60 into tents, and the rest of them are in the process of going to Palmetto's. Badgett said he's got about 150 horses there, so that was tough. To do anytime you got to uproot your horses, and whether you can't train, you're going to lose 4 or 5 days of training. Then when they get back, they got to make sure the track is right. There's just a lot that goes into that, and people don't really realize that you got to have a secure, safe training facility, not only in the barn area, but, on the track itself. And it takes a lot to get the tracks back, to proper training condition. It's gonna be tough to do. Another 10 to 12 inches of rain are on its way tonight, and so we'll see what happens there with that. And what's ironic about it? I lived most of my life here in Florida, and they never deemed it as a tropical storm. They named it. They how they were naming it was a tropical event. You know, it's whatever that means, I don't know, but we all just we prepared for it. And the odd thing about it is here at Sunshine Metals, we're a certified state of Florida equine facility for hurricanes. And so we haven't got this much water, even in the hurricanes we've had in the last 5 or 6 years. And that's what was interesting. The wind speed that we have here, we clocked the wind speed here at, back at my house. It was 69 miles an hour straight line winds that came through. And, you know, that was pretty tough, but we're all cement block barns here, and it's really good. You know, it's good and safe, and the trainers are good. They're well prepared for it. Their staff is prepared for it. So we really know how to, you know, deal with situations like this. And what I mean, I'm not saying that I like what's happened this week, but what was good is it was a good test for us because we are in hurricane season, and it was a good test for us to see where we had our weaknesses and, you know, where we had to build our strengths up at. And so that was a good thing, and it was just rain. We just had the straight line winds just for maybe, I'd say, maybe 30 or 40 minutes, and they were sustained. And that was the tough part, but we survived and everything. So, you know, we're good to go. Got the boats out, got the life jackets out. We're going to talk about the Caesars Horseshoe Indianapolis rescheduled for July. A lot of the tracks are rescheduling, like we've been talking before, about, you know, when you're training your horses for a certain race and you know, certain time of year, you have all these inconveniences, like we did all winter long. We had, you know, we had a lot of rain and a lot of, you know, inclement weather coming into the Derby. And it was kind of ironic because when we got to Derby week, you know, we had the rain and we had a lot of, you know, situations there. And what I think happened is all the horses throughout the United States were in inclement weather. And when they got to Churchill, you know, it was nothing new for them. You know, that's something they've been dealing with all winter long. And so it was kind of a blessing in disguise, you know, as they say. But up at Caesars in Indianapolis, the $150,000 Caesars and the $150,000 Horseshoe, both black type events, have been rescheduled for Saturday, July 13th, at the Horseshoe in Indianapolis. The races are Indiana's two events, second to none. That's the best they got there, and they got a lot of good horses there for it. A lot of horses ship in, and so, you know, it's really good. They had to postpone Caesars Day in mid-May due to torrential weather, which included over 4 inches of rain the evening before the race. It forced them to cancel the race. See, the rain has been a lot of problems. It attracts all over the country, just not Florida. But, you know, it was a problem in California, problem in New York, problem in Kentucky. You know, we had a little bit of everything there. And so everybody has to reschedule. And whenever you reschedule, the thing about it is you've got to adjust your training. Now, you can miss a few days of training because your horse is fit and ready for that date, that specific date. But if it goes past that, you have to start rethinking and rescheduling, you know, your training, and you might have to look at other races as opposed to the ones that you were pointing for. But it didn't get that way at the Hoosier at Caesars there in Indianapolis. They rescheduled them, and they're bringing them right back, and it's going to be interesting to see. The inaugural season that they had in 2003, entries for the 19th running of the Horseshoe in Indianapolis began in 2009 and will be held for the 16th year straight. To complement the racing program, Caesars Legends contest will be held, sponsored by the Indiana Horsemen Benevolent Association. The contest is free to play. Now, you can't beat that, folks. Both players on the track and online will be offered a total prize money of $2,500. The evening also includes Boots and Brews, which they have a mechanical bull ride. They're going to have live entertainment. This is dedicated to raising funds and awareness for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Association. The 10th Annual World Jockey Challenge, a total of 9 countries will vie for points in their native countries in annual jockey challenge. Sorry about that, folks. A total of 9 countries will vie for points, and they'll have the world champion jockey will come out of that. So that's pretty good. But, you know, like we were saying, the horse business is an unusual and unique game. We've got a lot of good things that are going on. We've got a lot of organizations that assist the horse people that are on the backside of the track, the grooms, the hot walkers, exercise riders, jockeys, that type of thing. They do a lot of good medical work for them. They make it medical accessible to a lot of the workers in the business, and you don't find that too much in any of the businesses outside, you know, of the horse industry, you know, like in Ford or whatever. You know, I don't know what all goes on there, but I know with the horse business, we got some good programs here. They help you with all kinds of medical issues. They have good dental programs. They got good medical programs. They got real good alcohol and abuse programs, which is really something on the racetrack and in the horse industry that runs rapid, probably more than any other, you know, business that's out there. And so what they do is they've got programs for rehab, and they have that. And they've got all kinds of things that help, you know, the industry as a whole. And it's not just limited to just the grooms and to the, you know, the hot walkers and the jockeys and, you know, that type of thing. They do have programs that are up at a different level, but they're for owners and trainers. And you'd be surprised how many owners and trainers, you know, fall into the abuse program. It's really tough on them because they say, well, it's because you got pressure on them and, you know, you got this and that. And, you know, every time you see somebody that's drinking or, you know, doing drugs and everything, they got a reason why they were doing it, you know, but they don't have a reason why they should stop it. And so now, the horse industry is getting to them in time to where they can redirect them and, you know, get them back in, you know, the right direction. Now, Elliot Walden's son has a string of horses, and he has people that have been in a, you know, abusive situations, and that's who he hires. He hires them because they're together and stand together as brothers and sisters, and they help each other when the times get tough, you know, when they're ready to give in. And, you know, Will does a great job with that. And we need more things like that, you know, in our business. And not just the thoroughbreds, but the standardbreds and the show horses. And, you know, it's just kind of, and the farms. You know, a lot of people on the farms have issues. But, you know, they kind of do things like that. And they put together these little programs, you know, like the jockeys competition. They have all kinds of things where they're always building money, you know, to help them, you know, support these programs. And it works out real, real good when they do that. And, you know, the horse industry is a good industry to really invest in because you can, you know, you might not get your money back right away. Let's say you buy go to the sales and buy a horse, and he might not be able to run, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, that's a little frustrating, but there's always a second career for them. They can become show horses or riding horses, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, that's pretty good. But the opportunity to make money in the horse business is really good. And I like all the things that they're doing now in the horse business, and they're having all kinds of seminars on how to own horses, like MyRacehorse.com had 2,500 people that owned a piece of you know, sees the gray that won the Preakness. And so, you know, you're looking at 2,500 people there that are now in the business. And you got to realize that those 2,500 people are living out in our community. They're the ones that are going to Burger King and, you know, they're going to the Walmarts and they're doing all the things that are, you know, in our community to support our community. But could you imagine having 2,500 people owning a piece of the horse? And you know, you're not strictly not in it to, you know, when you go to myracehorse.com, I'm a part of them. I'm a part of My Racehorse, and I'm always, you know, talking what they do and how they do it. But let me tell you, when you're a part of MyRacehorse.com, you're an owner. And when you go up to get, you know, you're an owner. When you get your win picture, it says that, you know, like I had Balatech, she won a nice race at Gulfstream, and it's got Spencer Farm, My Racehorse, and Scott Miller as owners. Even though I own a small percentage of her, I'm still an owner, and I still get all the things that you get as an owner when you go to the track. You get to go to the clubhouse. You get a, you know, you get all these perks, you know, and that's the great thing about it. And so it's brought more people into the industry. You know, each horse that My Racehorse has out there, they probably, I would say, have anywhere in excess of 1,000 owners for each, you know, each horse. And now, like whenever it comes time for the Preakness, the Derby, or any races at all with my horse, racehorse, they got a lottery that you get. You put your name in the hat, and if they pick your name out, then you get to attend the races as an owner with myracehorse.com. You know, and that's really cool because you know that could be the Derby, that could be the Preakness, the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup. You know, you got a lot of things to go to. And what they do at MyRacehorse.com is a lot of the owners on their race day usually get together with a group of their friends or a group of owners and have a little get-together, you know, a little backyard barbecue, a little party, you know, that type of thing. And that's the horse that they own, and, you know, hopefully, he wins. And so that's a new part of the racehorse industry. You don't have to have $1 million to come in and, you know, buy a horse like Seize the Gray and be a winner at the Preakness. You know, and there's 2,500 people out there that have pictures and many trophies of the Preakness sitting on their mantle or sitting on their desk as an owner, you know. And so it keeps us going. It keeps us going. It keeps the money flowing. But like I said, there's all kinds of things. And if you go to our website, you'll be able to see myhorserace.com on there at intv.org. And speaking of being competitive, there's a new alliance or a new league out called the National Thoroughbred League. Dr. J is a new investor in the National Thoroughbred League. And I'm telling you what, this is kind of a good idea. And it makes a lot of competition. Back in the day, I started a project where they were going to have the ultimate national champion. And this project is an ongoing project that's being worked on right now. And I think we're going to have it going here soon. But what you do is you have a series of three races at each state. You know, like say in Kentucky, they'd have one at Churchill, one at Keeneland, and one at Ellis or Turfway. And the winner coming out of there with the most points would be invited to a national championship at a track selected by, you know, the owners and trainers. And so you'd have, you know, one or two horses from each state coming out and having a national championship. And what that does is that builds a competitive spirit, you know, in the business. You know, you could wear your New Jersey bred shirt to the finals and get a free admission. There's all kinds of things that you can do, you know, to make things competitive and make it more fun and not cost a lot of money. And so that's one of the things that, you know, we're kind of looking at now. But the National Thoroughbred League, they kind of got a jump on everything here, and they're doing pretty good. The National Thoroughbred League announced June 13th, in addition of several key investors to join their roster of team owners, including NBA legend and Basketball Hall of Famer Dr. J. Julian Irving from the Philadelphia Stallions, and the Country Music Hall of Famer Tanya Tucker has Nashville Dreams. Let's see here. They're going to have six franchises all together. They're going to try to have 10 together, but they got six right now. And Irving and Tucker join NTL stack list of partners, including Nellie Rick, Ross Cannon. They've got a lot of people that are involved in this to get it going. I tell you, it's something that's going to really be going good. You got to start, looking for the National Thoroughbred League. And the tickets for the season are on sale today. Tucker and Irving will host the first two league events, and the full race schedule can be found below. I tell you, it's going to be kind of interesting. The first race will be the Nashville Cup, September 1st at Kentucky Downs, also known as the Million Dollar Weekend. The event will feature a $1 million kickoff race, one of the biggest purses in the United States this year. And at Kentucky Downs. And just to show you how they're doing this thing, it will revolve around celebrating horses and music, hosted Tanya Tucker, including performances from up-and-coming Nashville stars. So, again, we go back and we're talking about how the horse track or the horse industry, whether it's show horses or race horses, in your community is trying to do things for, to help the community. And so the National Thoroughbred League, like they're doing here at, in Nashville, you're going to have entertainment by top-notch country music people. You're going to have a lot of, movie stars, athletes, everybody there, because they're getting behind the community. It's a $1 million race, and that's going to bring a lot of people to the Nashville area and the Southern Kentucky area. And there, the Philadelphia Cup will be October 19th at Park Racing. It's the Oktoberfest weekend. Will feature one of the biggest days of racing in Philly history. The event will consist of five NTL races, totaling to $1.2 million. In purses, an Oktoberfest celebration of beer and music, as well as NTL's first ever Dr. J Invitational Golf Tournament. So you see, we kind of spread out with the horse industry into all areas of the community. And see, not only just the horses there, but now, we're supporting a golf course and the golfers of the area. So, they'll like to see that. And that'll become a big time golf event, for a lot of people that are playing. Then they have the Phoenix Cup at Turf Paradise, which is December 30th. The championship weekend will feature six figures purses. It will decide the season's winner. A concert from California Shamrocks owner Nelly Plus, golf and food celebrations. See, again, now we're getting into the golf and the food and the music. Again, that gets everybody involved from the community, there. So that's what they're looking at there. And I tell you, there's going to be people that will have the tour. They'll try to make all the events, rent a bus or an RV and try to make all the events, since it's all just now starting out. So, next year you can say, hey, I went to every one of the NTL races this year, by the RV or what have you. I'm looking at a lot of different things. The finalists, there's a lot of areas that we're trying to cover. And now we're looking at franchises coming up for the final pool of the league. And here's what we're looking at. All these cities and all these tracks are going to be competing. We're looking at Baltimore, Cleveland, Dallas, Los Angeles, Louisville, Miami, San Francisco, and Tampa. The final decision will be made this summer. And the four new teams will join the original six franchises, which are New York, the California Shamrocks, the Philadelphia Stallions, the Nashville Dreams, and the New Jersey Deegans, and the Seattle Gems. Now, see, this National League is kind of structured after like an NBA league or, you know, the college football, you know, that type of thing. They all have their names. You know, that will be a team that will be competitively competing against the other, you know, the other tracks over the year. The thoroughbred owners will be able to nominate their horses to be drafted by one of the top 10 NTL teams onto their roster. The drafted horses here, they will be in a, how should I say this? They're going to treat them like basketball players and football players, basically, is what they're going to do. And they will represent the teams during the races and will be eligible to run in an NTL races for $3 million purse pool. And so, you know, I guess we're going to be having these horses are going to be traded like players, like baseball and basketball players are going to be traded. It's an exciting day for the National Thoroughbred League that shows the excitement behind what we've accomplished with our inaugural season. It's a rough day today, folks. This rain getting to me. The momentum that we are bringing into the next year's operations, said Randall Lane, co-founder of the NTL. From the very beginning, our mission has been to create an initiative of a new format that can generate compelling and competitive races between some of the this generation's most exceptional and talented horses. And so basically what they're doing with this is they're getting people together and saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And it's really good. You know, a lot of these horses, they're not going to be competing, you know, like for the Derby or, you know, the Haskell or the Travers or the Breeders' Cup. You know, these are mid-range horses and it gives them a goal to go for and something to, you know, to identify with. And one thing I do like about the thoroughbred industry is we try to create an environment that will put a dollar value on a horse by having black type races, like the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont Breeders' Cup. Then we also have the Claiming Crown, which you get some of the best claimers in the country here to compete against each other. And so once you can ID your horse with a label, you know, like the National Thoroughbred League, you know, that means that, you know, you went through all the rules and regulations and the paces of what they do in order to compete and win. And if you win, you know, like say you're the NTL, champion, you know, it kind of gives you a value. People can look at it and say, you know, well, hey, he did compete against a lot of good horses, you know, that type of thing. And it was structured and it was well put together and that's what they did. And so that was, you know, one thing about the NTL that we tried to get going and, you know, get people to fall in love with the horses. And what I like about it is the marketing aspect of it that you have. You know, you could, you know, get you a T-shirt and then wherever the finals are going to be held at. And it says, you know, New Jersey NTL champion, you know, Impossible, owned by myracehorse.com. You know, and there's a lot of marketing things that go along with it other than just going to the races and betting on the races. You know, there's a lot of T-shirts and things of that nature. Like, for example, at Belmont this year, first time the Belmont's ever been away from, New York City up at Saratoga, and they got all the Belmont shirts. It's only going to be 2 years. They got all the Belmont shirts and the glasses and, you know, you name it. They got all the souvenirs. And those are going to be an item to have because in 2 years, the Belmont will go back to Belmont. You know, so that's going to be a collector's item from what's up there now. And that's what really, you know, people went to Belmont for. And like Saratoga Springs, they have a good water that they bottle up there, and it's in a blue bottle, and it says Saratoga Springs on it. And just about every tourist that goes to Saratoga Springs has to bring a bottle of blue water back with them, either for friends or, you know, or for their own use. And so now You know, when you think about it, the Saratoga Springs blue bottle water will have the Belmont logo on it, you know, and so that's a collector's item, you know, and people are starting to realize that here in the business, you know, what a collector's item can mean and value down the road. Now, that's like for me, for example, I've got over 60 Kentucky Derby glasses from different years that I've been collecting. And, you know, I'm telling you, it's kind of exciting, you know, to look up there. I look on one shelf here in my little case that I have them in. And, you know, I got 1960 to 1970. You know, you look at them, and then all the derbies that I was in, I've got one or two glasses from there. And so that, you know, you look at that, and, you know, collector's item, you know. And I always try to get two or three. Because you might want to sell one down the road or trade one down the road. I'd like to trade, you know, and I can trade, you know, one for maybe two or three or maybe just one on one. And then I've got Woodford Reserve. I've got quite a few bottles of those. And the Woodford Reserve is, you know, a sponsor of a lot of races. And they come in the commemorative bottles, and I like that. You know, and that's what the business is all about. You know, you can always turn it into something more than it is. Like programs, for example. A lot of people went to Saratoga this year just to collect the first program that was printed, you know, for the day, one of the 4 days that was raced. And a lot of people went in and they bought, you know, two or three programs, four programs, so that they would have as collector's items because it was only going to be a one-time deal. You know, those 4 days are only going to happen again next year. And after that, there's no more Belmont and Saratoga. So now you got a collector's item, you know, and they're collecting people that would lose, you know, like say you bet on a horse and he lost to Belmont. But it's still got Belmont on the ticket. You know, it's a souvenir item, you know, that type of thing. You know, the horse that you bet on, if he lost at Belmont at Saratoga, he could come back and win, you know, the Breeders' Cup or another big race, collector's item. You know, so that's what the business is starting to really get into. And you can kind of like do that with any business. And the biggest comparison I can make it was is the baseball cards, you know, that they had for baseball. They used to have the jockey cards. But the problem was nobody knew a lot of the jockeys, and it was more about the horse than the jockeys. But the horse cards did good, but the jockey cards, they didn't go over very well. But again, you know, through failure, you got a collector's item that's worth a lot of money. You might have paid a dollar for that jockey card. You might have gotten a jockey to sign it for free, and then all of a sudden they're gone, they're no more, not coming back. And everything, and then the value goes up on it, you know. So you got to learn, you know, what the value of the things like that are, and you know what to get and what not to get. And there's a lot of people that throw away a lot of good collectibles and don't realize it, you know. So that's what they do. But you know, so again, the business is getting better and better and better, you know. And that's one of the things that you know we've been talking about for a long time here at IEM. And speaking of the Belmont Stakes, I never thought this would happen in any races that we were holding, you know, like the Preakness, the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup, that type of thing. And then when I got into you know, the podcast and started getting into information distribution, I've had a lot of years to kind of look and see what's going on and what's the best way to, you know, go with it. And, you know, I've been slowly growing, you know, here and there. But everything that I've said 20 years ago and 10 years ago and 2 years ago is coming around. And so now I'm getting ready to seize the moment. Carpe diem, as they say, which we had a horse named that at Windstar, means seize the day. And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm in the process of doing that now with BBS Radio and some sponsors and some other projects that I'm doing. And because it's getting ready to just explode. And it's not going to be one of those flash in the pan things. It's going to be something that's going to continue on with tradition. with tradition. The Belmont will never be at Saratoga again, but, you know, they go back to the traditional Belmont and to the new Belmont. Not the old Belmont. They're going back to the new Belmont, and the new races will start then. And speaking, like I was saying, we're talking about collectibles. How would you like to be the guy that went to Belmont track on the last day of racing at the old track, and he's got all the programs, he's got tickets from that last day, he's got the cups, he's got, you know, all the memorabilia that they had of the old Belmont. And so now when they started tearing that down, the value just went sky high on that. All you got to do is find the right guy, you know, or girl to buy that from you, you know, and you're good to go. That's value there. And then you got Saratoga, which will only be 2 years, so there's big value there in those programs and those cups and everything. And then when the new Belmont opens, opening day, you got more value in the programs that you have and the glasses that you have. You know, that'd be like having a program from the very first Kentucky Derby. You know, that's worth a lot of money. You know, and so this is a constant thing that has evolved in the horse business. And people are starting to realize the value of going to the races. It's just not, you know, you pay $5 to park that type of thing. Because if you got the first ticket, parking ticket there, you got the first program, you got the first cups, you got the first everything, you know, there can never be another first. There's only one first. And so once you realize that and you invest into things like that, it makes it worthwhile. You know, and that's what we're trying to talk about. And so I saw a lot of this coming many years ago. And people, they look at me and they said, oh, well, said he's crazy. Said he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, and a lot of people humored me. And so I really like that. I always like to be in a position when I'm talking or about something or doing something. I like to be in a position to where people humor me, because I really find out who they are then. Deep down, I find out how smart they are. I find out their angles, and I find out all their weaknesses. And so I don't get upset when people humor me. I welcome it. I welcome it. And then I turn around, and then when I need to get something done, I know right who to go to and who not to go to. And so that makes it good. So back years ago, when I started the International Equine Network, and as you go to my website, it's kind of it in a nutshell. Those are all the things that were very important to me in the horse industry. And there were some, not many more important than what I'm doing there. And there's not, even when, like the harness racing, we've got a good working relationship over with Harness Link and Steve Wolf over there. Steve and I did the first flying turns from Freehold Raceway, New Jersey, in Freehold, New Jersey. And what was interesting about it is I knew nothing about the standardbred industry, but I had the concept to build a show called Flying Turns. And it would involve interviewing drivers, trainers, owners, the whole nine yards. And so that was 25, 30 years ago, you know, and the situation was getting good. Hey, back in the day, we didn't have, you know, all the laptops, and all we had was television. And we didn't have the internet like we do today. And we were trying to get the information on horse racing out just through regular television, through local programming and then national programming like ABC, Fox, and those people. And, well, shooting foxes back in the day, Fox was really small. But so we started doing that, and we started looking at everything. And so now we've come down to a point to where back in the day, as they say, whenever you wanted to broadcast an event, you had to have a lot of money. You had to go buy time from Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS, ESPN when they started. So now the situation is that the radio and TV stations and internet stations are buying events from the horse people because there's a value to it. You go in and you might have, let's say 20 commercials, you know, in an hour-long program. And you've got 15 and 30-second spots in there. and you're going to be selling them for X number of dollars. And you get them all sold, and you paid for the production of your program, and you put a little bit of money in the bank. And then if you can syndicate them and take, you know, things to the big corporate sponsors, networks, then you got something to go there. And so, like, for example, there's some things that I've got in the works now, and I just kind of not been dragging my feet along, but just had the foundation laid for it. It's called the Triple Crown Tradition. And so what I've done is I've gone into the Triple Crown, and we see like the Kentucky Derby, and they got the Kentucky Burgoo, and they got, the mint julep at Pimlico. They've got seafood. They've got all kinds of Maryland crab cakes. They got the Preakness Black Eyed Susan. You go to Belmont, they've got, their schedule and everything. And that's a tradition. That's something that everybody gets together and does. And you don't have to be a horseman to do it. You know, it's just a part of the celebration of Belmont Day or the Triple Crown. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to have a owner, a trainer, and a jockey from each track, Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont. And during their festival week, we're going to have a cook-off. And we're going to have those three are going to cook against each other. And then the winner of that, of one of the Churchill Downs, the Preakness, and the Belmont, those will compete at the Breeders' Cup for the Triple Crown Champion. And it's going to be their own recipe. We've got a real big name chef lined up to head the whole thing. We're going to work close with all the festivals, to promote it. It will be part of their marketing packaging that they have. It'll give the owners and the trainers and the jockeys an opportunity to represent, their horses. And I think it's going to go over good, and it's going to be on national television. We got a real good deal for national television. And, one of these days I'm going to come on here and next thing you know, we're going to explode and we're going to be like an ESPN or, something big. But, it's taken a lot of groundwork and it's taken a lot of, wheeling and dealing and that type of thing, getting the right people involved, with what I'm doing. So that's happening. And that's going to be really good because all three of the tracks are in favor of it. They think it's a great idea, especially like when they have the Derby Festival Committee. They're always looking for something. I remember when they added the balloon races to the Kentucky Derby Festival, and now they get over 100,000 people there for it. They got the fireworks, you name it. They've got the whole, of all things, they got a hole in one. They give away $1 million. To the guy that gets a hole in one out of the local golf course there. But see, again, that was something that sprang up and it's not horse related, but it is, and somebody said, hey, let's put up some money and see how many golfers we can get in. They got thousands of golfers that go there. They've spent, I think, like 2 weeks trying to get a hole in one, there. So, it brings people in to the community. It gives them something to do. But again, it's about the distribution of information. And once you get a little piece of information, you got to think about how do I build on that? How do I build on that? Do I put a sign up out on the highway? Do I buy radio ads? Do I buy TV ads, print ads? How do I spread the information word of mouth? You always want to have something, that you're doing is by word of mouth. And we look at the National Thoroughbred League. That's pretty much by word of mouth. Guilty by association, as I always say. Look at all the athletes and the big stars that you have that are jumping on board with this. And if you got a person on there, Dr. J, he's a big time NBA star. Then it's easier to get somebody to come in and say, okay, we want to sponsor, two. What can we do for you? And you go to people like, the people that have the, Apple card, the Apple, little Apple cards they have. and they want to get on board. Then next thing you know, that association is giving away a Apple card to whoever calls into their radio station or to their podcast program. So now, you know, they say, hey, well, you know, I talked to, Scott over there at International Equine Network, and I called in and I got an Apple card. You know, and then that spreads out, and the next thing you know, get a lot of people calling in, and all it takes is a phone call, a little bit of time. You know, that's all it takes. And so that's why all these leagues and all the horse racing is starting to do really good, is because guilty by association. You gotta find something that grabs the eye of the people, and then you go for it. You know, you gotta do it. And like I said, all the networks now have really changed their programming around, all the sport networks, just about. They got rid of all their announcers as paid, contracted employees. So what they've done is they're what they call stringers, or people that come in that you could hire to do horse racing or football or basketball or whatever. So all the announcers got fired, and they became stringers, and they work out contracts deal to deal. Now, some of these guys, you know, like Jerry Bailey, he doesn't do all of them, but he does a lot of them, you know, and it's what he works out with them. And we've had four or five big announcers, you know, in the horse business, you know, that have been changing and moving around, got new ones coming in, you know, that type of thing. And so now it's become like a chess match. How can I make money off the horse business? You know, where can I make money off the horse business? You know, that type of thing. And so the distribution, when you get down and all the talk, the stuff that I've just been talking about, you know, I know I'm rambling on, you know, and I'm confusing a lot of people, but the whole gist of what I'm saying is it's about distribution. That distribution is success in anything that you do. At McDonald's, what's it all about? It's about distribution of the hamburger. Of course, you go in and say, okay, well, my hamburger's the best. It's this, it's that. But it's about distribution. That's where you make money at. If you're out doing distribution of McDonald's hamburgers and you're doing 1,000 a day, you're successful. If you're in the horse business and you're trying to do, win races, and you've got distribution out there that helps supply the money for your races, the purse money that you go, that's success. That's all about distribution. The more I get out there, the better I am. Everybody likes to be around a winner. Everybody does. You know, if like with Seize the Gray, 2,500 owners, because they're around a winner. They will always be an owner of that in history of Seize the Gray, those 2,500 people. So again, it's about distribution, and you know, it's about who comes to Pimlico, who does this, who does that. Hey, you know how many companies there are out there that want to put their logo on a shirt that's worn by Wayne Lucas's employees that have that are trained Seize the Gray? You know, there's a lot of companies out there, and you know what? Those T-shirts will last forever. You'll see T-shirts from 20 years ago. You know, with Ali Sheba on it, you know, with El Bob Eliscapade. You see those shirts all the time. You know, they're old shirts, but, you know, it was about the distribution, you know, of the business, and that's what's making us successful. And so now we're getting down to a point to where we're going to have some distribution wars. That'll be a show in itself, you know, for it. It'll be like storage wars, you know, that type of thing. But what's happened is they're trying to weigh out the cost, you know, of capturing these events, the marketing of these events. You know, what is Churchill Downs or Pimlico or Belmont or Del Mar going to pay the TV people? Well, we're not going to pay nothing. We're not going to pay nothing. You're going to pay us because we've got a product that everybody wants to see. And, you know, that proved out here, you know, with Fox. They came in and they went in and they butted heads with NBC and you know, some other networks. But Fox Sports announced the return of Fox Saratoga Saturday, a national showcase, keywords, national and showcase. That grabs people's attention, because when you say national, you know it's going national, and showcase means that they're going to be having some doggone good horses there. For the summer meet at historic Saratoga Racecourse, airing on the Fox Broadcast Network Saturdays this summer. Beginning July 20th, Fox Sports and NYRA, which is they run the racing in New York, NYRA Racing Association, has six consecutive weeks of racing on Fox for the summer's biggest races from the sport's most historic venue, Saratoga Raceway. It includes the Traverse Stakes on Saturday, August 24th. That'll be on Fox. All these times are Eastern times now. So we'll have, starting out on Saturday, July 20th, from 5 to 7 p.m. network, on the network, it's the Coaching Club American Oaks Stakes. Now, if you notice, the times here all fluctuate. And the reason they do that is because they're usually competing against other things like football, baseball, or what have you in here. But this one is Saturday, July 20th, a big race day, beautiful stakes card, a lot of good horses there. It's the Coaching Club American Oaks Stakes on Fox, 5 to 7 p.m. The next Saturday is July 27th, and the racing that they have there is 3 to 6 p.m., and we've got the Jim Dandy Stakes, another good day of graded stakes races to win. Very famous races. Then Saturday, August the 3rd, from 3 to 6 p.m., have the Whitney Stakes. Then on Saturday the 10th, 3 to 6 p.m., the four-star Dave Handicap. Saturday, August 17th, 3 to 6 p.m., the Alabama Stakes. And, man, let me tell you, that brings some of the best fillies and mares from all over the world. That's an exciting day of racing. And then, of course, they close out Saturday, August 24th, from 3 to 6:30 p.m., the Traverse Stakes, and that's on Fox. Now, you know, it's really good to see this happening. Fox Sports and NYRA first established partnerships in 2016 with the launch of Saratoga Live. The critical acclaimed and award-winning television show providing daily coverage of the 40-day summer meet at historic Saratoga Racecourse. Fox Sports has continually expanded the coverage of racing most important events each year since 2016. Most recently, broadcasting the 156th annual Bentonwoods Stakes, presented by NYRA from Saratoga. Highlighted by the 155th renewal of the Grade 1 $1.2 million DraftKings Traverse Stakes on Saratoga, August 24th. It's a Grade 1 $1 million Whitney on Saturday, August the 3rd, the annual 40-day summer meet historic race course. Course will open Thursday, July 11th, and continue through Monday, September 2nd. So you see what's happening is Fox has realized they've come up with a niche, and you know that you could go there and you could watch the races. Now what I'm doing here at IEN, and it's gonna have to get bigger if I want to make money. I want to feed myself. What I've done is I combined all these things, like things with NYRA and Fox Sports, things with, Gulfstream Park, Tampa Bay Downs, Churchill Downs, Keeneland, Ellis Park, Santa Anita, Del Mar, that type of thing. By working with them, I'm a small, small person. I don't matter to anybody. You know, I don't, and marketing people just laugh at you and say, I don't matter to you. But what I do is I provide distribution. We provide access. You know, you might not be able in a position where you can get Fox Sports, you know, on your device. But see, by coming to BBS Radio and TV there, you know, we have access to iTunes, iHeartRadio, go to over 100 countries. That's distribution. That's success right there. You know, I might have only two people watch the racing from Zimbabwe, you know, but it's about distribution. And yes, you can get that in, you know, racing, you know, through there. You don't have to have satellite or cable TV, you know, that type of thing. You know, all you got to do is come to IENTV.org, or if you want music, if you want, hey, they got good church services on BBS Radio and TV. you know, you can go to them. And if you sign up with BBS Radio, you'll get an alert when that program comes on. You know, and like I'm constantly getting, you know, alerts off of there when they got a live program coming on. But see, it's all about distribution. You know, and how do you do that? You know, if I were to sit down and say, okay, well, I'm going to do live racing, you know, I got to have a camera crew, satellite truck. I've done that before. I did that at Freehold Raceway in New Jersey, you know, and this is back, 25 years ago, and we were spending $20,000 a week, you know, to do one show, you know, and we were getting $19,250 in advertising. You know, so it was a tough deal, you know, but it's all about distribution. It's all being guilty by association. Like me, when I go out, hey, I always stand next to the heavy set ugly people. Makes me look a little bit better. And then I had a lady tell me the other day, she said, I listened to your show. She said, you know what? She said, you don't have a face for TV or radio. You know, and I said, well, good. My first critic. And you know, if you get a critic, that's the best thing about what we do. If you get a critic, you got people talking about you. You know, and if they're not talking about you, then you're really in trouble. You're either good or you're bad. And that's what I like, you know. Hey, I would love to have 1,000 viewers and 1,000 critics, because those 1,000 viewers that you have that say you're good and might praise you aren't going to get as many people to watch you and listen to you as the critics do. 1,000 worth of critics will bring you 5,000 viewers. 1,000 worth of people that like you will bring you maybe another 20. You know, so, but it's all about distribution and how you do it. And the TV networks are getting ready to get into it, you know, about all these things, because, you know, they bet $158 million on the Belmont up at Saratoga that, you know, a couple, weekends ago. And that's what it's all about, you know, is distribution and how do you get them there. You know, the simplest way to put it, you know, these guys that sell all these old used cars, remember they had the spotlight, they got the balloons and the clowns and everything. And it's about, you know, getting the eye of somebody. And once you get the eye, then the distribution gets easy. It gets easier and easier after that. So, you know, that's about it for the day. I rambled on enough, confused everybody enough, you know. And one thing I hope I never get good. I hope I never get to face for TV. And I can tolerate my face for radio. But if you got any questions, you know, just get a hold of us at IENTV.org, or you can call our call-in number next week at 323-744-4831. And the doggone Apple cards are starting to pile up here. Nobody's calling in. And I'll give them away as soon as they call in. So have a good week. Shake hands with people. Tell them you like them. Criticize them. Praise them. But tune in to us again next week on BBS Radio TV and IENTV.org.